And good afternoon. It is Intuitive Soul Radio, and we are back for our fourth season, and this is, I know, can you believe it, Tim?
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to try and remember the name again. It has something to do with Wandering Ways.
That's good.
It's always great to have you back, Tim. Even if I can't remember the name of the show. Travelers, Seekers, and Wandering Ways, isn't it? Look at that. There I remembered. All right. Hello. So, yeah.
Nice to see you again. It's been a while.
It's been, yeah.
3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're back.
Nice to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see you. And today we have...
Oh, no, wait. You're not very loud.
I'm not very loud.
No.
Oh, that's quite unusual.
Yes, it is. But we want to get it back a little.
How are we doing now?
Keep talking.
Okay, well, I'll keep talking. So today we have Jason Tarter from Traditional Healing Center, a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking some time out, because I hear you're quite busy.
Yes, it's been quite busy lately, definitely.
Okay, there we
go.
Oh, sure. There we go.
Is that better?
As long as I don't laugh into the mic, I should be fine.
Well, this is a problem.
You have a good laugh, though. So, you know.
Yes, yeah. When I laugh, watch me duck underneath the table. So, we were just talking as you were coming in this afternoon. I hear you're getting quite busy, so that's really nice. Well done.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's been a lot of hard work. I have, you know, great patients. I'm very fortunate to be where I am. Mm-hmm. And yeah, things are getting busy, and we're really glad about that.
Awesome. So now, traditional Chinese medicine is kind of your area of focus, mm-hmm. but at the Healing Center, you actually have other practitioners as well, right?
Yes, we do. We have several other practitioners who are specialized in different areas of, you could say, holistic, type of services.
Mm-hmm.
We have holistic nutrition, which is a really interesting field.
Right.
If someone wants to just focus on nutrition, mm-hmm. We do psychotherapy as well. We're having a naturopath start at our clinic. We also do massage therapy, and so yeah, that's
so. Now, how long have you had the center? Because you're managing this as well as doing your doctorate, right?
Yes.
Acupuncturists?
Yes.
Have I got that right?
Yeah, I mean, I did my like master's of traditional Chinese medicine. They call it a practitioner's degree here in Canada,
mm-hmm.
And that was like about 3,500 hours of study. And I'm doing my doctorate slowly, still waiting for the legislation to go through in Ontario.
Okay.
Which they are slowly making progress on that.
So which legislation? Just so we can...
In 2006, mm-hmm. Traditional Chinese medicine was passed under the Health Act.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they have been... setting up a college to, you know, set forth all the rules on how the practitioners can practice in Ontario.
Okay.
This has been taking quite some time, and so we don't know what's going to come about that.
Right, okay. So yeah. it's kind of regulating the profession?
It's regulating the profession, which is great.
Okay.
We just don't know what rules they're going to imply on us. Right now... it's an open ball game. You
right.
could do a weekend seminar course and go and start practicing acupuncture and say
mm-hmm.
you're an acupuncturist.
Okay.
And no other health profession really has this. No other doctors. Like, they're all protected.
Right.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
You can only
yes.
use a doctor's
yeah.
title. You can only call yourself a dentist if you have
right.
trained
okay.
to be a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So legislation is great. And so...
Because I can imagine trying to learn acupuncture, that's...
Well, yeah.
That's
you'd be pretty scary if you did it on a weekend.
But yeah.
They're available.
Yeah, not even a weekend. Even 200 hours, it's still not a lot of
mm-hmm.
time. You can learn it, but it takes a lot to really understand the deep inner meaning of what you're actually doing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to acupressure, I guess.
Yeah.
In some of my practice, and so part of my research is trying to figure out what I'm actually doing
mm-hmm.
because it's intuitive, and it's so I got a book and it's just like, holy cow, okay, well, I have to set aside, you know,
yeah.
4 years to get through this, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I took Jinshin acupressure,
mm-hmm.
and I did over 500 hours of study, and to be any good at it,
mm-hmm.
seriously, that's not even that.
That's a good start, but it's also the practical. I mean, if you learn it, that's fine, but actually using it,
mm-hmm.
and those hours count 2 to 3 times more than the actual physical studying in the class.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the, I think, the important
aspect. Now, with your master's, how long did it take to do your master's?
It was about 3.5 years.
3.5 years. And that was the 3,500 hour program?
It was about 35, yeah. And you go straight through it the whole year.
Right.
You're not stopping in the summer. You get small breaks between the trimesters. And you're just, you know, you almost forget about everything else in your life. Everything else is less important. And during that time, you are like a sponge absorbing information.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of information to understand and to know inside your heart, not just in your brain.
So that's very interesting to know inside your heart what it is. I thought that's a beautiful way to express how the information that you've absorbed becomes such a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So in who you are, how did you get interested in this particular field?
Oh, it's quite a long story. I'll shorten it, but it started,
time.
I was born, you know, when I was born. No, but, you know, I had, not to draw it in some of the health problems I had when I was growing up, but I had a number of problems where I was, you know, constantly on antibiotics, ear problems, ear infections, you know, always getting sick, you know, other things. And I think I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I think I said to my mom, I'm like, I think I need a nutritionist. I think it's something with what I'm eating, because I used to have like all kinds of skin problems, and I had reactions to certain foods, breaking out in hives. And I knew, like, you know, you reach a point and you're like, okay, something's not right. It wasn't until university that I started to really buckle down and start researching nutrition.
Okay.
And it wasn't just nutrition, it was everything I put into my body, everything about the environment, and it led me to gain a better understanding of the human body. Like, there is obviously something going wrong, why was this happening? I was really searching for those types of answers. Mm-hmm. And it led me to naturopathic medicine. And I was at Western University in London at the time, and I had the health insurance from the university. So I went and, you know, I spent some money on naturopathic medicine, and naturopathic doctors also do acupuncture as well.
Right.
And so we were working on my diet, and he gave me acupuncture, and, you know, it did wonders for me at the time, but, you know, I didn't think I was ever going to make it part of my life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just continued on with my life path, and I got into marketing, and one day I decided, look, I read more and more about Chinese medicine. One day I said, you know, I just want to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
It made so much sense to me, because you start reading about Chinese medicine and you can see many aspects of yourself within the medicine, because it works on patterns of symptoms. You know, not just one symptom, not just I have a runny nose, but it's the whole pattern of what's going on when you have that runny nose. And, you know, whether it's stomach problems or lower back pain or you have allergies, there's different allergies and there's different back pain.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese have done really well at identifying these types of patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start reading about Chinese medicine, you're like, oh my, that's me. That's me right there. You know, that happens to me in the morning. I'm like this. And, you know, by the time night comes, I feel like this. Yes. And I said, wow, this works. It worked on me. I spoke to a lot of other people, and then I just decided to go for it. And I enrolled in school, part-time at first. And then, went on with that.
And there you are.
Yeah.
And now here you are.
And now here I am, you know, several years later.
That's brilliant. So when you were younger and you said in university you were working with nutrition and you had acupuncture at that point, did that help with your allergies at that time? Or?
I didn't have allergies. I had psoriasis when
right.
And so it did a lot. The nutrition was a big thing for me. Typically with skin problems, you have a lot of excess heat in your body because it's usually red and inflamed, usually stuff coming out. And so I ate a lot of meat.
Okay.
predominantly a lot of meat, lots of junk food, lots mm-hmm. of what we call heat forming foods. Mm-hmm. And so I, especially wheat was a big one. So I went on the gluten-free diets and that, and the candida diets, and those really had a huge impact on not necessarily clearing it totally out of my body,
right.
but reducing it so much where I could sleep at night.
Okay.
Right?
Well, I mean...
that's important.
Yeah, that's kind of half the battle right there,
and
right?
And you speak to any, almost any eczema sufferer, mm-hmm. and they can't sleep at night because they're constantly itching.
And then if you're awake at night, then your immune system gets suppressed and you're getting more stressed and you're getting more frustrated, which makes the problem even worse, right?
It spills over into all the other aspects of your life.
Okay.
And it really affects who you are. You're not, you know, when you have a good night's sleep, you wake up, you're so refreshed, you're ready for the day. You're not like, oh man, another day, you know, like,
I don't know. I think there's a lot of days like that.
And you know what? Some people are, you know, based on genetics, based on the way they were raised. Some people are just, you know, negative in that aspect,
right.
but some of it has to do with your physical body,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How your emotions or your spiritual side interacts with your body and the world, how it interprets, the, you know, or what filters it has and what's coming in, what's happening around you, mm-hmm. your physical body can affect the your emotional state or how you react to things.
Absolutely. And vice versa
and
as
vice
well.
And vice versa, definitely.
Because, you know, we're not in a closed environment or, you know, in a laboratory environment where, you know, we're a, what's the word, where you have a, where they do
a controlled area.
A control group. We're not in a control group, right?
At least we don't know.
Let's not go there.
That's for another show.
I'm just teasing.
There goes that laugh. Sorry people. Now when you talk about heat, there's somebody said something interesting to me the other day, and you're the perfect person to ask now, so I will ask it. And they were saying that Chinese people are, their culture talks a lot about heat in the body, mm-hmm. but they don't use a lot of cold or ice. Now, is that...
No, we definitely use cold.
Okay, all right.
But the thing is that we... Since we have a hot body, we're 98.6 degrees on mm-hmm. average.
Mm-hmm.
We easily transform things into heat.
Okay.
So we find in these stressful days and our heat-forming diet that heat is more, it happens more often.
Okay. All right.
But there was definitely a period where the doctors in China thought everything was cold.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And then it also depends on the climate that you're living in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? So if you're living in a more cold climate, then you're going to be generally, you may be more cold or more susceptible to cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas if you're in a hot environment, you're more susceptible to heat.
Mm-hmm.
But then it depends on your temperament.
Oh, well, yeah. Because I know I'm furnace.
Are you? Yeah.
Well,
are you?
Oh, damp is a big thing with Chinese.
Dampness, yeah.
But especially with this.
It goes to say that what's happening outside of you has a direct reflection on what's going on inside of you. So mm-hmm. they use the qualities, like when we say damp, it's dampness, but it's hard to describe if you know what dampness is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be a little bit more clear there. They use the outside world, so they use heat, cold, dryness, dampness. And then what we call summer heat, which is like extreme heat when someone gets like a heat stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of outward weather conditions that we get. And then we can have the same weather type conditions inside our body.
Right.
Okay. So dampness is like too much water accumulation.
Right.
It's like a damp day. It feels heavy. The air is moist. And now that could be a cold moist or a hot moist. Right,
mm-hmm.
And so we, based on your signs and your symptoms, we can gauge whether it's what we call a damp heat, right,
mm-hmm.
or a cold damp.
Okay.
Right? And so then there could be dryness in the body, and there could be cold in the body, and there could be heat in the body. And now where it gets a little bit more complicated is you can have cold and heat in your body, right? You could have cold, heat, and dampness in your body. And so it's gauging where it is, how it came to be, mm-hmm. and how to eliminate it. And so that's really the importance.
So that's, I find that really fascinating, because we're no longer, we're so used to allopathic medicine. They look at the symptom. Mm-hmm. So we'll just cover up that symptom and pretend everything's okay. So in this aspect, which I think is phenomenal, is that you look at all of the environmental factors as well. So the environmental factor is not just your own situation, but the world around you as well. So it's bringing that connection that oftentimes can be lacking mm-hmm. in other areas where we're focused, you know, in allopathic only on a symptom. But it brings in all of these things. So it becomes, again, you know, we talk about holistic, and that's exactly what this encompasses, because it's everything from how you breathe, mm-hmm. basically, to what you ingest and how your body is working with all of those things.
Exactly.
Which, oh, it's like, yeah, nice. Mm-hmm. So now, so all of that is kind of, so you had your own, and it's interesting, because when I talk to people, and when we talk to people, and we find out how they got to a certain place, your interest was kind of there, because you, as a child, you said at 12 years old, you know, you said to your mom, I think I'm on a nutritionist, which is, you know.
So indigo.
But you know what? Back then, it was a dietitian.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it is today.
Yeah, and they would have put you on the Canada's Food Guide.
Wouldn't
have helped at all.
No, exactly, yeah.
A little bit, you know? It depends on which category mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, choose to eat.
Right, yeah.
But mm-hmm. it's a lot different now. We have so many more options and who we can see.
Well, it's incredible. And what you're doing at the center and bringing in different people as well to open that up. And part of that as well is an education process of the people around you. Because I know when I was, you know, younger in the early 80s, it was really difficult with this kind of stuff to approach people. Mm-hmm. So how have you found that changed? Have you found finding that changed in your own experience?
You know, I can't say what happened, like, say 20 years ago, because I wasn't practicing then. Today, it's slowly integrating. Mm-hmm. If anything, acupuncture is probably at the forefront.
Right.
More and more people are trying acupuncture. There's more and more studies with acupuncture mm-hmm. on the, you know, positive results coming from those studies. And just even people's word of mouth to their family and their friends.
Plus, insurance is starting to cover it. So I think that makes a huge,
huge
impact.
Huge mm-hmm. difference, because it is an out-of-pocket expense.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's been good. There's still a lot of people afraid of needles.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that's ever going to go away.
No.
But they don't, it's...
Oh, no, don't try and tell me it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't? Do not
try and tell me it does not hurt.
Is that right?
I've had it.
Does it hurt you?
Wow, okay.
I got bruises.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it could be a couple things because of the bruising. One, you may bruise easily. That probably...
I don't know necessarily that
two,
I agree that
two is, so bruising sometimes does happen. It could be the acupuncturist.
She was really good in that she, you know, she studied pretty much her entire life because her grandmother was a Chinese medical doctor as well. So, from what I know, she's supposed to be very good. It's just, I think there were some extreme cases with me going on that needed to be, and so I mean she would even, you know, try to massage certain
that's
areas
good. Yeah,
and honestly I wanted to kick her, like, seriously. I was
just
like,
from the massaging. Some sore points on the body,
really mm-hmm. sore,
and that's true. Like, sometimes acupuncture is not for a particular person.
Okay.
They may have a really big fear of needles. Mm-hmm. Now I'll let you know what I say to patients about the pain of needles. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to feel a thing. And there are some tender points, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There are some tender points. But generally, especially with new patients, I'll put the needle in and and they won't even believe that the needle's in them.
No. And I've had it several times now. And
never had any on your feet?
Not on my feet. No.
Yeah,
but
every time she did one on there's one okay. on my, she'd hit the nerve and it might, like, that would hurt so much. It's like, please don't do my feet anymore. Please don't do my feet.
I did it twice. Once for smoking cessation. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't in the right place for that at the time. But I am now nicotine free. But anyway, that was good. Another story. Yeah, it's like
a year almost.
Almost a year, yeah. Incredible. And then I had it a few weeks ago as well, and it was just really nice because when we were talking heat, I can actually feel the heat from my spine starting to move out of my body.
Mm. Very cool.
And I was just like, oh, this is what it's like to feel like normal. Yeah. And I was like, so cool. And it was like, you know, I probably sat on the table for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah, that's all you need.
So it was like, it was lovely.
So, and you know what? If you have, say, back pain, mm-hmm. and I put, say, some needles in you, and your back pain, say, after one treatment is down by 30 or 40%, you know what? Like, give me a couple needles. Like, get rid of my back pain.
Exactly, yeah.
So
exactly,
sometimes it's, you know, a little bit of pain, a little mm-hmm. bit, a lot of gain.
Right, yeah. And as Laurie said, everybody's different, and everybody will find their own way.
Someone's so stressed out, where they're like, oh my God, they're like mm-hmm. shaking. What's really happening is the energy is really clamping up and stopping, and we're really trying to do the opposite. Yeah. So yeah, massage may be better. Maybe a Chinese herbal medicine is mm-hmm. better.
That stuff is awful. I was with her for, was it 6 months? I guess it was 6 months. Oh.
Have you ever tried the pills, though?
No, she was always the tea.
Yeah,
always
I do teas. Uh-huh. I also do granules. I also do pills. So people uh-huh. who just mm-hmm. want to swallow it and not taste anything.
Right, yeah.
But part of the healing is in tasting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for instance, if you take a bitter medicine, it actually...
Tim just whispered that he loved it, and I said,
"Do you? Do you love it?
Oh, any kind of tea. It doesn't make. And I'll go out and I'll.
Okay, seriously, this is like the bitterest.
I will go out.
Have you ever had Chinese herbal teas?
Well, yeah, I'll go out and buy like just the herbs themselves.
Because you have a medical condition?
Yeah, or something that I'm trying to work on emotionally or something.
It could be like, I just want to feel better. I just want a stress-relieving formula.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So all
that would be completely different than what I had, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all Chinese medicine doesn't taste as bitter as maybe what you had. There are some really sweet formulas.
I had one. I had a few times that they were quite sweet, and it was like, whoa, this is a nice difference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sweet is very tonifying. It's giving you a lot of energy.
I tend to steep mine for a long time, so it goes more into tincture. Mm-hmm. So I do like 20-minute steeps.
You're supposed to.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because then we're not talking
clay
tea.
Pot.
Yeah. Because we're not talking quite tea. Then doesn't it shift after 5 minutes from tea?
Well, technically, ingredients in there really isn't tea anyway.
Well, it's herbs, plants. They're herbs. They're
roots. Tree bark.
Yeah.
But you're not eating. You're not eating the actual herbs. You are. I have my patients make a tea out of it.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're boiling it for about a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe I'm from Newfoundland. Maybe because we'd like chew on bark of trees and stuff. Maybe it's okay.
Yeah, maybe that's it, Tim.
You have to get closer to nature. You should be rolling around in the mud. We're going to go right after. That's right. Get back to your kid days.
You know, it's funny because I've done a lot of interviews, but I mean, there's a lot of different thoughts on that process. And I know we had somebody else here that also did acupuncture or Chinese.
Yep.
And, the thought of is it better if you're Canadian in, southern Ontario to have, all of your herbs and things, your medicine from this area when I was going to it, it was all from China, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
or India so that's the big question, sometimes is mm-hmm. it better when you get, medicine from this area? Is it better if you get it from the earth? And I know that there are some herbs and stuff that you can get that are Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More like I don't practice it, but there are Western herbs that you can get native to, mm-hmm. I guess, North America. Mm-hmm. I don't know about, there's a lot of herbs in this area. Don't get me wrong. There's so many. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't think their whole, array of herbs covers just this area. I think they are using in a wider range. But I say whatever works.
That's a good point.
Well, that's brilliant. And that's what everybody's after. Everybody's after for what works and what works for me, as an individual, not necessarily for everybody else. And we get so caught up in that. And that's what's interesting about, you know, when you're talking about the heat, the cold, the dampness, and the dryness, and how all of that works, because we're creating a composite or a character composite of the person that you're treating.
In that moment, yeah. Definitely. And so the herbs that we give them, say, if they have dryness, we're giving them herbs that are moistening. Mm-hmm. If there's dampness, we're giving them herbs that dry the dampness. If they have heat, we're giving them cooling herbs, and, you know, vice versa for cold.
Right.
And so we're really trying to just bring them to balance them so their own body can take over and like our body is supposed to be able to take care of ourselves if we mm-hmm. eat properly and possibly, you know, supplement with some nutrients and vitamins mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't see patients, I don't want them on the herbs for the next 18 years, for instance.
Right.
I want their bodies to be able to do it
right.
themselves.
So then we also get into the idea of responsibility and taking on responsibility for your own health, for your own body. For your own way in the world, basically. So
I mean, I can only do so much. I can give you an acupuncture treatment. I can give you some herbs. One, if you don't take them, then they're not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Two is if, you know, you're drinking alcohol, you know, 5-6 times a day, then I can't compete with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I may be trying to, like, rid that toxic material, but if you keep on putting it in, it's like having a hole in the bottom of a bucket,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to fill it up, but it's just leaking at the bottom. If you're trying to lose weight and you don't exercise, right, I can mm-hmm. help you. I can get things going. I can get things moving. I can push things out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't exercise, if you just continually eat really fattening foods with a high in sugar, I can't compete with that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like people do have to take responsibility in their personal lives, mm-hmm. what they do on a day-to-day
right.
basis. And we do help with that.
Right, exactly.
But we can only tell you. You have to, that person has to make, you know, take that first step.
Yeah, but at least there's some education there. So
yes.
That's the thing. In going to a place like this, there is an education. Whereas if we go to a doctor to ask a question about what it is, all you get is statistics. And
and they're looking at the symptoms, not
exactly.
the cause.
And you know what? They're trained in that way.
Mm-hmm. And that's brilliant. You know, let's not beat
I mean,
it too
some
badly.
Cases, yes. In some cases, they're necessary.
Definitely.
And
that's right.
Good
yes.
As
yeah.
a complementary mm-hmm. if we use both.
Like
that's
if you
right.
have pneumonia, yeah. you want an antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's going to save your life potentially.
That's right.
And we need that type of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a cold,
it's going to work out of your body.
It's going to work out of your body, and you can take other things that are a little bit more natural to really help mm-hmm. your immune system.
That's
your
right.
Your doctor. Yeah. Unless it's severe bronchitis, what do they get? Get rest, have some chicken soup, take an Advil.
And that's where it comes in. Infections, I try to treat, like tooth abscesses and things like that. I've treated naturally and, you know, have managed to kind of prolong having to go to get antibiotics because I really don't like taking them. But prolonged it long enough so that, you know, I could still do things. But in the end, it's like, okay, this is it. It's not quite getting there. So got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Get that in. But then you have to replenish everything after you do something like that as
yes.
well. So how did you find that in your own experience? Because if you were always taking antibiotics as a child.
At the time, I didn't do anything.
Right. No, but as you're older, so how do you feel now?
Beneficial bacteria is a big one.
Right, yeah.
I actually started doing... like colon cleansing,
mm-hmm.
like going on fast, and it really to clear things out.
Right. Okay.
I really got into that, and that helped me. And just exercising
mm-hmm.
regulates the bowels.
Right. Yep.
But antibiotics are very like cold in nature.
Okay.
So just replenishing it with a lot of enzymes, the beneficial bacteria, some warming
right.
foods afterwards, just get things going.
Mm-hmm.
Provide really good nourishment right. that's
okay.
easy to metabolize.
Now is that so? Now here's an interesting question. For me, anyway, I'm interested in knowing the answer. So that's all that counts at this moment. When it comes to infection, how can traditional Chinese medicine help with infection?
What kind of infection are we talking about?
Well, you mentioned a candida cleanse, so let's take that one as just an example.
Yes. So in terms of candida, we look at the we don't we didn't really recognize candida. We recognized what it does to the body.
Okay.
So candida is usually can survive in a damp type of environment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in Chinese medicine, that relates to dampness.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be looking for damp signs, and that could be excess weight.
Mm-hmm.
It could be having a lot of diarrhea or very loose stools.
Right. Okay.
And there's, you know, heavy type of feeling. There's things like that.
Right.
So we would try to eliminate the damp type of foods
right.
in the diet.
Okay. So now, in that process, so when we're dealing with the subject itself, rather than, you know, we're dealing with the symptoms, how is it going to deal with the immediate effects of the infection, or we treat the infection and then treat the underlying circumstances afterwards?
I mean, candida, if you're having really bad infection,
right.
I'm not sure exactly candida is going to be the number one thing you're going to be looking
for.
Okay. If you're really infected, you're probably going to want to do something for the infection.
Right. Okay.
Yep. If it's at the point where you do need antibiotics, I would probably suggest someone go get antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an infection is usually dealing with heat in the body again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it could be like a toxic heat, we say at that point, if the pathology has gone far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give someone herbs because that's usually an internal problem.
Okay.
Right. Clear. There's herbs for that.
Yeah. And that's what's neat, because you're practicing not just the acupuncture side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You have the whole scope of Chinese medicine.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, acupuncture is not the magic pill.
Mm-hmm.
It does wonders, but it doesn't help everything.
Right.
And
right.
So that's what really got me more interested in the Chinese herbs, because it's medicine you're taking internally, it's being metabolized, it's going into the bloodstream, and then it can reach the cells from inside the body and work
mm-hmm.
and work outwards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas acupuncture is more affecting the inside, but working from the outside inwards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because
okay.
the acupuncture meridians go deep into the body as well, mm-hmm. as well as residing
surface,
on the outside.
Surface, yeah. So now when you're talking about traditional acupuncture, because you're also running a community acupuncture clinic, is that right? Community acupuncture program, I guess.
Community acupuncture, yeah, and it's really gaining popularity, not just in Toronto and Canada, but in the United States, where I believe it actually started.
Okay.
Up until now, it's very expensive for people to come and see an acupuncturist. Generally, you know, $70, $80, $90, somewhere in that frame. And you may need 10 treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and now you're talking, you know, $700, $800, $1,000 for treatment, and you know it's probably going to be in a month period, right? And so for many people, they start treatment and then it becomes too expensive for them, and they stop, and
right.
it's
okay.
this money issue of,
mm-hmm.
look, we want to help people. This medicine is so simple. We want to have, you know, we want to support ourselves, but we want other people to be able to receive the acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
So community acupuncture, we treat in group settings.
Okay.
Whereas we don't, it's not one-on-one. We get a thorough analysis of you and what your patterns are so we can help you. But the most important point of it is to get the acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we scale the price between $15 and $40, where the patient gets to choose what they want to pay.
Is that based on income, or
we give a generalized income chart, but you know, even if you're making $100,000 a year and you want to come in and pay us $20 for the treatment, that's perfectly fine. We're
mm-hmm.
not looking at anyone's income tax
right.
no, returns right. or anything
yep, yep.
like that.
Okay.
We want to create community. We want people to receive the medicine and get enough of it to get better.
Right. So now in a group setting. So you're working in a group. How long have you been actually doing this here in the city now?
Probably for about 6 months now.
Okay, so it's just fairly new.
It's fairly new. I dabbled with it about a year and a half ago. I was doing some treatments like that, and now I'm putting more effort towards building this
mm-hmm.
type of clinic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everyone.
Right.
Very good for common problems like pain and maybe digestive issues, things like that. But if there's so many things going wrong, you're just in dire straits, you probably want some one-on-one help.
Right. Yeah.
At least at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
just to, you know.
So how does that work in the group? You say you kind of have your group there. So just so we can explain to people who are listening,
sure,
how that kind of works in a group atmosphere.
Yeah, so the first time someone comes in, I do speak with them for about 15 or 20 minutes, and they've mm-hmm. already filled out quite a lengthy questionnaire. Upon returning or that treatment, I'll have people in about four or five people in the room at a time, mm-hmm. and they're in chairs, and we treat focusing mostly on points below the knees and below the elbows. So you're not undressing, okay. right? So there's no risk of, you know, someone seeing you in a, you know, an uncomfortable situation. As long as you wear loose fitting clothes mm-hmm. or you bring something that you can change into. And so we'll have a room, and you know, people will be coming in and out and very quietly. I'll have your history there. Usually I'll, you know, if it's a follow-up, I'll spend a couple minutes and ask how things are, what's mm-hmm. changed, what's going on, and then apply the acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And so the theory is that it's, for the most part, it's the acupuncture that is helping your body,
right?
Right. Yes, therapy works, talking with someone and, you know, sharing stuff and mm-hmm. letting things out. It's very therapeutic. But for acupuncture, it's when you're either lying down or sitting that the acupuncture mm-hmm. needles are in, and you're able to rest your mind and let your body process what it needs to process. Mm-hmm. That's when you're getting the most benefit. And so if we can, we treat several people at once and say we're taking 20 from this person or 25 from that person, 15 from this person, it allows the clinic, you know, to earn money to right. so we can mm-hmm. sustain ourselves.
Yeah.
But then people are also getting the treatment that they need.
Right. And it's still, I mean, if you're working in groups of four or five people, that's still a very intimate setting.
Yes.
It's still, you know, very, you know, comfortable.
It's comfortable, yes.
Yeah. You know, so that's really, you know, quite lovely.
But you're not like on top of one another.
No, no.
Hello. No, yeah. You are very close to me.
That again is another show.
It's the laugh again.
Yeah. I can't help it. Somebody asked me once, are you happy all the time? I'm like, oh, no. it's just the laugh. Just the laugh. So now, do you have this scheduled on a regular basis, the community acupuncture?
Yes, right now we have it on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
So twice a week right now. If people are continually coming to community acupuncture and say they need another treatment during the week or they want to come in, then I usually make time for people if it's available.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two acupuncturists, one on each day, myself on Tuesday, and another acupuncturist at the clinic. Her name is Mickey Voss, mm-hmm. and she does Thursday. And some days it's really busy. Some days, you know, it's a little bit more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We're really looking to pump it up so it's always busy. We want to open up more days mm-hmm. and more convenient times for different
right.
people.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's brilliant, just to have that availability there. And to kind of let the community know that it's there as well, because it because anything that we can do to help each other in this way helps the world around us.
Definitely.
So that's kind of, you know, we're bringing back, you know, when you talk about acupuncture going from outside to inside and herbs going from inside to outside, when we deal with people in this way and educate them, we're working from a singular unit and then working out to the world around us. So it really helps because it, well, what else can it do? Because you're telling them it's part of their internal environment, their external environment, and everything that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really special in being able to provide.
And
that.
It is special because, you know, each new patient I see, they open up a part of them which they sometimes don't even, you know, say to their closest, you know, family member mm-hmm. or wife or husband or whoever. And I'm able to really fundamentally see the core of people and what makes them tick and what they're going through on a daily basis. And to put all that information together, it's special.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
So how has that affected your path? And being able to see that in other people, how is that affected?
Oh, I learn from a lot of other people's mistakes. Or I see the different possibilities that the world can dish out
mm-hmm.
and different circumstances
mm-hmm.
And I gain a lot of different people's perspective because we're each born into a certain kind of niche into a certain role, and we all see life in different ways based on what we've learned and mm-hmm. and all that type of stuff. And then when someone opens up to you in that type of way, when you learn everything about them, you're able to almost put yourself in their shoes and live in their life, even for a brief moment. Mm-hmm. Not to say you know exactly what they're going through, right. or you yeah. know exactly mm-hmm. their pain, but mm-hmm. I'm introduced to all kinds of different things like that.
So it opens up an empathy, would you say?
Definitely.
And how does... So when you feel that... this is interesting. When you feel that for others, does that affect the empathy that you have for yourself?
It should.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yes, you know, I try to be softer and kinder with myself, knowing sometimes that sometimes my problems aren't as bad as other people. Not to, you know, compare or anything like
right.
that,
yes.
but, you
yeah.
know, we all have our own shtick or our own, mm-hmm. you know, our mm-hmm. own problems and stuff like that. And it helps me work through that, knowing that, you know, person A was able to overcome it in this way. It gives me more willpower sometimes to change things in my life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes not. Sometimes, you know, I'm human too. Sometimes I'm lagging in certain areas. And that's, you know, that's right. about growing and, mm-hmm. and being human. And
yes,
that's okay
yeah.
too.
It's just informing, you know, because if we do have a practice, it informs our own lives. Like you say, you know, you get to see those other perspectives and bring those into play.
Yeah. And I also see change in people because I treat them and I see them get better and I see how that improves people's lives and, you know, how they can enjoy their life more.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings a lot of gratitude to myself.
And it's an inspiration because oftentimes when we think of an issue or if we have an issue on our own, we think, how can we get through this? How are we going to get through this? And we end up just stumbling and staying within that vortex of those thoughts that keep running around. And if we see the potential to create that change, is not necessarily that it inspires us to think that, oh, maybe we can do it too.
Yes,
because we've opened up that potential.
Mm-hmm.
So in your practice, you're opening up that potential for the clients that you meet as well, for
yes,
themselves.
Definitely. And I obviously bring my spirit and my energy to each person that I see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an accumulation of my experiences, and my experiences include everything that I go through with, you know, mm-hmm. all the healing that takes
right.
place in the practice.
Right, because you also do a little bit of sound work with Crystal Bowls, is that
yes,
as well?
Yes, yeah, with Darren Hall as well.
Yeah.
So we both got interested in that, I think, through acupuncture.
Right, okay.
And then the sound came as it feels so good when you hear the pure sounds of, I use the tuning forks and also the quartz crystal bowls.
Okay, yep.
And you're kind of manipulating energy with sound as opposed to the needle, per
mm-hmm,
se.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about frequencies? Because what we're doing is we're creating an environment. So this environment, whether we think of it as coldness or dampness or heat, whether we're looking at it as acupuncture with a needle, or if we're looking at it from herbs or sound.
Mm-hmm.
What is the perspective of Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, on that kind of vibration? How do they see, is there a separation in that, or do they see it more of...
I think it depends who you're talking to. From my knowledge, I don't know that Chinese medicine, from what I've learned in my books and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they never describe the sound or the frequency of the herbs, which would be very interesting
right.
to study.
Okay.
I can't remember her name. She wrote the Tuning Fork book, and they did a lot of research. She's in New Mexico. It's from Acutonics.
Mm-hmm.
And they base the sound on the meridians. So basically, certain frequencies have certain qualities to them,
mm-hmm.
and they based it off the planets.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually Pythagoras' theory that everything in the environment or in the world, in the universe, is vibrating at a
mm-hmm.
certain frequency,
right.
including
yeah.
our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all constantly bombarded with different frequencies, and they change how our bodies vibrate. Mm-hmm. And so the tuning forks are used on the meridian at certain frequencies to kind of stimulate the body in the same way that the acupuncture needles would.
Okay.
Yeah, and I did an interview with Dina Saxter, who has done a lot of work with Mantak Chia,
mm-hmm.
and they both have come up with sounding, so mm-hmm. they're using vibration to do their healing work. She does it more to help heal emotional issues.
Yeah.
Go into the pain that go into the physical body, and so Taoism and mm-hmm. Chinese medicine typically go together. So there is there definitely right. is studies that bring right. are bringing okay. them together and mm-hmm. working on them.
Yes, definitely.
Sure. So, I find that quite fascinating because everything that grows has some kind of vibration to it.
Mm-hmm.
It has, you know, we're a structure and we vibrate at a certain frequency depending on who we are and all the other stuff.
Oh, and then there was that series of books from somebody in Russia who has something to do with herbs and the vibration and the sound.
Really?
So that, yeah, it's mm-hmm. really
I would like to get that book. That sounds really interesting.
Apparently it's a series of seven. It's quite a Lyme story. I don't remember it, but mm-hmm. I could definitely get it for you or get you information on it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Their philosophy is really unique, that if you want to heal your body, you actually take the seeds of the herbs that you're going to grow and you put them in your mouth for a while
and then plant them. And because you're putting your yes. energy, so it's like almost like your DNA is going in there
exactly.
and it's growing just for you. You know, there's something to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, homeopathic medicine uses very, very, very diluted portions of a mm-hmm. plant, for instance, mm-hmm. and they have really profound effects on mm-hmm. the body just from it's like the energy of the plant is in the water, right? So there's something going on very, very subtly in this universe mm-hmm. that we don't 100% understand yet.
Because mm-hmm.
yeah.
I wonder about that in terms of the acupressure or acupuncture points, because each one of those points has a specific name.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of them. And then each one of those has a specific quality to it. So now when you're talking about the the sound that comes to it, and when you're working with the vibration of the line of energy, you work with the whole line or just a specific point in that tuning fork?
Sorry, you're talking about the sound healing now.
Yeah, exactly. And that integration.
I will use the tuning forks, especially on people who are afraid of needles,
okay.
to stimulate the point just as I would be doing an acupuncture.
Okay.
And we are trying to stimulate the entire meridian,
okay.
but mm-hmm. not always just that meridian, because we are a closed circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So the meridians are like a roadmap of how energy flows in the body,
okay. mm-hmm.
but there are they connect together
right.
as well.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. you could be on, say, the stomach meridian,
mm-hmm.
and you will also affect the spleen.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, definitely working on the whole body, mm-hmm. so that point to elicit an effect on the whole.
Okay. Because often when we see pictures of the meridians, we just see, okay, well, it goes around the ear and it goes down, it goes from the pericardium out to the fingers and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're missing part of what that connecting
exactly.
part is.
Yes.
So how would you describe that? How would you describe, is it connecting external to the body or is it connecting internal within the body, those meridians?
Well, they do both. There's the meridians that we acupuncture
mm-hmm.
are very superficial.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are running on the outside of the body and they connect together.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Then there's what we call like divergent channels that mm-hmm. run deeper inside the body,
mm-hmm.
which connect to the internal organs. And they may
right.
connect to a couple different ones,
right. okay.
depending
yeah,
on
yeah.
where the channel
mm-hmm.
goes.
Okay.
And so it kind of works like that. But you can think, these are like the highways.
Right. Okay.
Then we have like side streets, you know,
okay.
and then we have
right.
little pathways. So
right. okay.
there's millions of connections, which we probably mm-hmm. don't even know
all.
About.
Right. Yeah.
But these are like the main branches, mm-hmm. the tree trunk.
Because you have 12 main meridians and then two of the governing, is that right?
Yeah, definitely. There's four, basically 14 main meridians, mm-hmm. and then we have extra ones that don't have acupuncture points, but they're main meridians.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's neat. So, and what we're doing is affecting. So, in acupuncture, we're affecting particular points on these, which are superficial, in order to release any energy blockages, so that the energy can move along the highways without a car crash. Basically.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly it. And you know what? And when there's congestion, or when what we call stagnation, when the energy isn't flowing smoothly, it's like a traffic jam.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And what happens in a traffic jam is people get upset and they get angry and they heat up. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you can consider is happening in your body a lot of the time. Okay. When the energy isn't moving smoothly, it's a blockage.
Right.
And that blockage creates friction. And that friction creates heat. And then a lot of people, the heat naturally rises in nature. Mm-hmm. So they'll get a lot of times upper body problems.
Right. Okay.
Right. Hmm. Red eyes, red complexion. Okay. Maybe they have heart palpitations, things right. like headache, things like that.
Okay. And that, yeah. well, that kind of stuff must be, you must see that all the time.
Yes. it's very, very common.
Well, because we're in such a stressful environment, or we project a very stressful environment around us, because the way we deal with stress is not the same as what it used to be.
No.
And what stresses us is not a lion coming at us or anything else.
Yeah. You
know, somebody has my coffee in the wrong spot, or I don't have sugar for my coffee. And that's kind of, you know, where we end up with these little tiny mini things.
Mm-hmm. And those types of things, like if you're really stressed out, you can actually feel yourself tightening up, right? From the core, you're just like, you know, your fists clench, all your tendons, you know, tighten, blood flow is restricted to those areas.
Right.
And that's what we call stagnation, and that can lead to heat. And so that's why we see a lot of heat symptoms in people today, as you were mentioning earlier on.
It was interesting. The story that was told to me was that there was a Chinese woman who was in a coma, and they were giving her cold or putting an ice cube or something on her, and they were like, "No, don't do that. Don't do that. She can still feel that, even though she's in a coma, and her culture says it should be warm." So they gave her warmer water, and it actually, you know, because with any cold, if we have heat, it can tense us up.
Yeah.
Right? And that, you know, and I lived in Germany for a year, and they wouldn't even leave their windows open at night a crack to get fresh air in, because, well, cold air is going to give me a cold.
And it could. Definitely.
Oh, come on.
Definitely.
Seriously?
Yes. Not to the extreme. Like, if you have it open a little bit.
Right.
But if it's a really cold draft and you're not protected, then definitely you can... you can contract something.
Aren't you just more susceptible to getting something?
I think if you're looking at it from a Western standpoint, I believe that cold air is causing your immune system to have to protect you more. Because more blood needs to rush to the area to keep whatever warm that's getting cold, and that leaves you susceptible to any bacteria or viruses that are living on us all the time to invade easier. So looking from that perspective, in Chinese medicine, it's actually the wind component. Mm-hmm. Wind will easily bring in these types of things. And when you go from cold to hot, what's happening is the pores on your body are opening and closing. Mm-hmm. And we see that a pathogen or a virus, bacteria, can invade through the opening of the pores. So that's why we see the wind as being a problem if it's not normal.
Right.
You know? Exactly. Not just a wind outside on a nice warm day. Like,
that's the reason for people wearing sleeping caps. You know?
Right.
Is it? Not to keep their hair straight?
No, not to keep their hair straight.
No, because
you get the hair head in the morning.
No. The sleeping cats are kind of just to keep that.
Well, like it keeps your heat inside the body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because we lose so much
from the head. That makes sense.
Because I like to keep my window open, even in the winter, in the dead
but
of winter.
Most of the time.
Because you're hot, right?
Oh, you're
just
hot,
a little bit. But I also have to have a pillow at the top of my head.
Really?
So that I don't lose a lot of heat from my head, because if I do, then I'll start to sweat.
Huh. Interesting.
That is. But I mean, you know, so
we'll psychoanalyze you another time.
So many times you hear that old wives' tale, you know, about you know, the cold.
But again, you have a lot of heat in your body, so the cold is not affecting you as much because you have all this heat, you know. It's you know,
And it's always been that way. I don't remember a time ever not being this way. And then I don't like the hot summer either, but there you go.
You don't like the hot summer? Mm-mm. No, because it's heat on heat.
Yeah, that would
You're heat already, and then you're adding more heat, and then you're just becoming, you know, you become agitated and frustrated more when you're overly hot.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all this summer.
Yeah, it was a hot summer.
We did have a hot summer.
But you know what? The season before was really cold, and you know, just
and we can say we're lucky to experience that, but then in that luck, in that movement, we can also experience a lot of different things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to be able to do that. And what Chinese medicine does is helps to bring us to an understanding of how all of those factors can help us to come back to a place of balance within our bodies, so that our bodies are its natural healing state or natural rejuvenating state. You know, it's so I think that's quite fascinating. We got like 5 minutes.
I know, it went fast, didn't it?
Oy vey.
There's so much to talk about. And there's, you know, you can go into so many different areas of medicine, right?
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. So, you know, we've gone through quite a bit. And I just wanted to, is there anything else that you're doing right now that you wanted to let everybody know about?
Just that we have on Monday nights, Larissa DeZamba, she does a meditation group.
Mm-hmm.
So people who want to learn about meditation, want to try it, maybe like doing it with other people as well. Mm-hmm. It's $10 every Monday, and there's a whole group of people there, so you can come out and meditate with us.
And where are you located, by the way?
We're at Yonge and Eglinton, just south of the intersection on Berwick Street.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People can reach us on our website as well.
Which is?
TraditionalHealingCenter.com.
Okay. That's it. And then, so you have that. So that's the meditation. That's on Monday night.
Meditation group. And she's doing also on Tuesdays spiritual counseling, like teaching people how to do it.
Right.
And
okay.
more about their spirituality.
Right. Okay.
And that's every Tuesday evening as well. And this is all on our website as well.
Right. Yeah.
We put on seminars all the time.
Okay.
Our holistic nutritionist does. I do some seminars on Chinese medicine, introducing people to, you know, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also give people a free 20-minute consultation. Some people want to come down, see the space, speak to us one-on-one, ask their questions. And so we're doing that on a continual basis.
And then Tuesday and Thursday is the community acupuncture.
Yes, that's right.
And that's 5 to 7?
5 to 7.
Okay, so I did write that down right. Well, that's awesome. So we've got, you know, Monday, meditation.
Yes.
Tuesday, spirituality counsel.
Yes.
Tuesday and Thursday,
community acupuncture. Yes.
And we're speaking with Jason Tartar of Traditional Healing Center, and that's traditionalhealingcenter.com.
That's right.
Yay. Anything else we got a couple of minutes. Anything else, Jason? I just wanted to get all that in there so that
I mean, if people are looking for a new way of healing themselves, if they've been let down or what they're doing right now isn't working, or they're getting all the wrong advice, or they want to switch to someone else, then you know, we really welcome you to come by, come see the clinic, read what we have on our website. We have a lot of information there. We really try to educate people. We also have a newsletter that I send out monthly with all kinds of tips and suggestions and things people can do to be more preventative, to eat for the season, little things like that. So you can come to our website and sign up to our newsletter. And we're just trying to like educate people as best we can about the medicine.
You have something else on your website, you have a little ebook.
Yes, I co-authored an ebook on traditional Chinese medicine that people can download.
Nice.
And it really goes through the fundamentals of Chinese medicine. I really like to educate my patients so they don't feel that they're just coming down there, getting acupuncture, and leaving. They're more, they understand some of the theory, maybe not deep into it, but some of the fundamentals will really help in the healing process. So you can come down and download that completely free.
And that's at traditionalhealingcenter.com.
Yes, traditionalhealingcenter.com. And that's up 24/7. We're always open online. We never close.
I wish I could say the same thing about my website.
It's always down.
Oh, it's not always down, but...
Mine's gotten hacked a lot.
Really?
Yeah,
so... Well, that's good, Jason.
Maybe a firewall.
Got that.
Yeah, there's some people out there. That's what they do. It's happened to me before.
Yeah, it was really quite something. But anyway. But good for you. So we have all that stuff going on.
Yeah,
so.
Lots of stuff going on. We are we have naturopathic medicine very shortly. We have a new practitioner starting soon. And we're just trying to build a place where people can go get, try several different modalities and get help from maybe several people at once. It's better to have more than one brain working sometimes. You get different perspective. And we have a really nice warming space, and we really want to get more people to come out and try this new type of medicine. It's been practiced for thousands and thousands of years. And what's interesting about Chinese medicine is that more people in the world do Chinese medicine than our Western allopathic medicine for their primary health care.
That's right. Exactly.
We, you know, North America is very big here, but in other parts of the world, China, you know, all over Asia, you know, India, they're doing forms of Chinese medicine, and you know, and also Western medicine. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, no, but it's more, and it's a cultural heritage, you know, that is based on observation over thousands of years.
You know, and it stood the test of time.
Yeah, exactly.
What I loved is I did an interview, and I'm not sure if it was with Dina or not, but where, you know, I think it was someone else, and they said that, you know, it used to be that it was completely a preventative medicine, and they actually didn't get paid if you were sick.
Yeah.
You only got paid when they would come for the preventative to make sure that you wouldn't get sick. I thought that was great. It was like, good for them.
Yeah,
I wish I could do that. That
doesn't work in the Western world.
It'd be because people would just go and, you know, party and do all kinds of stuff. And I, you know, I'm sick now. You know, I can't pay you. But you know, it was like that. Yeah. And I from the beginning, I knew about that, and it was like. That's a good way of if our society could do that. Exactly, I don't think we're there yet.
No.
Let's hope.
Someday, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I mean, that means coming to you from a child. It means coming to you all the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As a means of preventative, as a means
that's
right. of
I'm almost your family.
Healthy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a lot of families.
That's a lot of families. All right.
That's a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff.
Okay. I think this is a good wrap. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason.
This was a pleasure.
Stopping by.
All right. And so we'll be back next month.
Yeah.
With something.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? All right.
We'll talk, Laura.
We will. Have a great afternoon.